I don't want to do too many spoilers for Cerebus, but yeah, there are issues about man, woman, yeah. man in woman, man as woman. Da, da, da. Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, Cerebus is a hermaphrodite.
Right? Spoilers! Sorry. That's what I'm trying to avoid, crying game.
So anyway...
Oh, man. Okay.
Hey, it doesn't wreck the enjoyment of the whole thing. So anyway...
Nope.
It's not like a twist ending.
Okay, thanks for the future, Cassandra. Nah. Keep going. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon number 44, Sneaky Dragon After Dark. I'm one of your hosts, Ian Boothby.
And I am also a host, David Dedrick.
That's right. Now, I say it's after dark, because normally we do this around the supper hour. But you know what, everybody? We're getting close to midnight. Things are feeling a little freaky. We're recording a little late tonight. And let's just see if it colors how the show goes. Maybe the show's going to get a little sexy.
That would be uncomfortable.
Dave and I have had a couple of whiskey sours.
That's true.
We're loosening our ties. Just going to let it all hang out.
We had a. I just had a jelly belly or jelly bear.
Did you have a jelly belly?
I just had a sour.
A couple
candy.
Of sit-ups will get rid of that.
You said it.
Amen. That's the kind of jokes we're going to have. Sammy Davis Jr. is going to be dropping by a little bit later on, and someone's going to do a drum solo for way too long. Now let's bring some superfluous girls in to. I don't know. I'm trying to remember what Playboy After Dark used to do. It seemed like they stood around a lot, and then someone would drop by, and they'd be pleasantly surprised.
Oh.
That seemed to be usually what happened was a bunch of bunnies would be at the bar.
Yeah.
There'd be a piano, someone would be playing, everyone's mm-hmm. having a good time, and then was just, it like drop by Joey Bishop to really need some attention.
Is it like tinkling piano playing, like kind of in the background? Sort
a little
of?
Bit. So you could. Yeah. I'm not sure if they had a cocktail in hand, because I don't think you could drink on the air. So it was like a big bar, but I don't think anyone could drink.
Really? Because what about Dean Martin on the Dean Martin show? He always had a drink in his hand.
Well, now how does that work? I guess like you couldn't see him actually putting it to his lips probably. He could hold it as a prop. Because remember that used to be a big thing. It was like you could not show drinking alcohol. It's from the old thing where...
On television you can show it? But yeah. What about if you watched a movie where someone was drinking?
I think movie was fine. Now here's the reason why. Back in the old TV days, they used to do commercials mm-hmm. live. And so they would open a beer and drink a beer and it'd be under the hot lights and the guy would get drunk and it wasn't a good idea. So that for some reason, they decided that you just can't drink on the air.
So CNBC is actually Kerry National Broadcasting Corporation.
Very nice. What's ABC? The Abstinence Broadcasting Corporation. How about CBS?
Thank you. CBS would be the...
Can't booze it up? Can't, sir?
Can't booze. That's good. I'm glad you asked me the questions and answered them because I had no thoughts in my head.
If you want to do PBS...
This is Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
Okay, that's right. Dave is a little bit soft.
It's after 11. And I am... for me. Not for you, dear listener. For me, it's after 11.
That's right. We're doing the owl prowl tonight.
I've had a hard 2 weeks, so...
Oh, by the way, sorry about that. Okay. Sorry to interrupt your story, but I was
Business
just
going
to. Okay, but I was going to say, like, speaking of owls, there was an owl attack in my neighborhood recently.
Was there?
Yeah, my friend Susan reported through Facebook
mm-hmm.
that a friend of hers was attacked by an owl about like half a block from where I live.
Was attacked by an owl, like yeah. literally attacked, or just the owl bumped into them because they
and well, excuse me,
hoo
hoo hoo, and it was like hoo hoo, and then, as they went,
who are you?
Now, to be fair, the friend was dressed as a mouse.
That's a problem.
Yes, it is.
That's and so it was attacked by the owl.
Mm-hmm.
The friend.
Yes, that's all I
the
know.
Genderless is... friend was attacked by an owl.
Right. Who was confused?
Who was confused by the mouse costume?
That's right.
Okay.
Well, you don't want to see the gender on the mouse costume. Otherwise, we're getting into the furry fetish area.
No, I guess not. I guess that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It depends which way the tail points.
Is that right? Well, you've been to Disney World, and I have not.
I've been to Disneyland.
Oh, I'm sorry. You've not seen the world. You've only
seen the land. I have not seen the world. I've only seen the land.
Okay. Well,
it's smaller.
Yes.
Less extensive.
Wait, it's a small world?
It's a small world.
Okay.
It's a small land. It's a small land after all.
And so how do you tell the difference between Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse? Because they look very much alike.
Which way their tails point.
Okay. Which way does Mickey's tail point?
Down.
And Minnie's?
Up.
Okay. I guess we've learned how to sex a mascot. And that's the kind of thing we're going to talk about on Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
Yes.
All right. We're both taking a drink now.
Yep.
And what have you switched your drink to there, Dave?
I'm going to have a Tom Collins.
Okay, and I'm going to have a Roy Ramjet.
What? I'm going to have a Neil Armstrong.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have a Felix Unger. Fuck you, Khrushchev. That's what I say.
I wish I could think of the name of the Alan Collins.
Okay, who's Alan Collins?
Isn't he the third person, the third astronaut who went on the...
Well, there's Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin.
There's
Buzz Aldrin and Neil went on, actually went on to the moon.
Okay.
But one of them, was it Alan Collins? Alan...
Could have been.
He stayed on the...
Listeners, call the in now, if you would.
Please call at 555-55. 5-5. That's Sneaky Dragon.
And once you've warmed up your fingers doing that, call the actual number.
What is the actual number?
I don't know. I'm not giving out my phone number. What the hell? One day maybe we'll get like, we'll spring for a phone number once, and then maybe we'll take some calls sometime, but I'm not doing that right now.
Well, no, because we don't have a phone number.
That's right. Really? Well, technically we do. You could Skype us. There are things that could be done. Yeah. Probably.
Probably.
We have Skyped people on the air. We have Skyped to Ty Templeton. We have Skyped to Tucker Stone.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the technology, but that's not the kind of thing we do on Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
We've done it twice, and both times had trouble.
Right.
Old people trouble.
Well, I wouldn't say Ty and Tucker are that old.
I can make it work.
Oh, you're saying we're the oldies.
We're the oldies. That's okay. Right. I'm still like a tin can and string. That's about as...
My image of myself is Colin Upton, local cartoonist, has been putting some pictures of us online from the oldie days. And so I'm just picturing in my head that we're two youthful young men. And that I've got a long head of hair that goes way, way too long. I've got BG style hair.
I really liked your hair.
I really liked your
long hair, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was nice. Well, you had long hair.
I had long
hair,
but I did not like my long hair.
What was your problem with your long hair?
I looked like a mop. Literally, really? Like a mop. Because I have thick hair. I think I've talked about it before. So when I grew it long, it did not.
I have a very thick head of hair.
But yours was nice and like down.
Oh, okay.
Mine grew out, like up.
Mm-hmm.
Up like a male mouse's tail.
Well, we've in the past talked about the band Grapes of Wrath. I thought your hair looked very similar to that from the band Grapes of Wrath, who all had matching kind of hair that was similar to that at the time.
Yeah, maybe. Because I had kind of curly hair and then it... But I don't know. It didn't really work out.
I say don't be afraid to put one of those pictures up. Let the listeners judge for themselves.
There's not a lot of pictures of me from that time period. I saw
one recently that had you with the long hair.
Really?
Yes.
No one wants to see it.
I don't know.
I'll put it up.
Okay. I think you should. But Colin has been putting up some pictures from the past of comic conventions that Dave and I went to back in the day. And we're trying to now logically figure out where and when all of these were. So we might invite Colin Upton onto the show at some point and have him figure this.
He can elucidate for us.
He's got a good sober mindset, not like us two drunks. and he might just remember what happened.
He remembered things that I don't remember, and I even wrote some of them down.
So. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, there's pictures of me, and behind me is an ad for a comic that I did that I do not remember for the most part.
Yeah.
It's one I did called 10th Avenue Tales.
I remember. And I think I have that at home.
I have no idea what's in it. I have no idea. I know what the cover is.
I'll
the cover is my girlfriend at the time breaking our fridge.
Yeah, it was a fundraiser.
It was a fundraiser for our fridge.
Yeah.
Because she accidentally broke our fridge, chipping away at it with a hammer and screwdriver to get rid of the frost.
It didn't occur to you just to turn it off?
Don't talk about me. By the way, it wouldn't have done anything.
Is that right?
She nicked the Freon tube, so the Freon would have been in the tubes regardless of it.
No, I meant just turn it off so the ice melts.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, then the food would have gone bad.
Well, yeah, you have to kind of plan ahead on that sort of thing.
Right.
I think ideally you don't allow your fridge to develop such a thick coat of ice in the freezer that you have enough room for a slice of cheese.
Well, later at the Hall of Judgment, I suppose. That's where we are right now.
Well, you know.
Thank you.
I like to call myself hindsight.
Okay. Well, when you point a finger, you point three back at yourself and one at God. And
all three of them are saying, I'm great.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're pointing towards you.
Yep.
My mistake, sir.
Yes, sir.
But, those were fun times doing those comic conventions.
Well, they were fun.
This was pre-internet, let's say.
Yeah, this is pre-internet.
So if you wanted to get your comic book, I did a mini comic called Dave did one called Rounders, which was a larger size, a more sensible adult size.
Yes,
mine were the
right.
little fun size Snickers bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yours were the chocolate bar you'd get at the movie theater.
I like to say adult diapers. That's what mine.
And you could use it as one, too, if you wanted to.
Yep.
But if you wanted to get your work out there, what you had to do was get it out there. You had to actually physically go to the Kinko's, print it up, or the Kinko's equivalent, if you could, that was cheaper.
My mom's work.
I used to work as a teacher teaching writing at Vancouver Community College, and I would sneak into the printer and I would steal copies.
Yes. Why not?
Ethics.
Besides ethics. Why not?
Oh, well, all right.
Besides some moral sense of, you know, besides scrupulous morals, why not?
That you do raise an excellent point.
Thank you.
You know, whenever you say stuff like that, I find a good thing to say afterwards or add the words, Your Honor.
You think that's best?
Sure. It's like, what's wrong with theft? Your Honor.
I don't think that's the way you should couch it.
Okay. Or you could also put the word officer. That's another one there, you know. I drive better when I'm drunk. Officer.
There you go. That's a good one. It puts a positive spin on it.
Sure does.
I drive better.
It makes it more personal.
You just say, you know, instead of saying, you know, theft, Your Honor, you say, it fit my pocket better, Your Honor.
Sure.
There you go. The wallet suited my pocket better than, you know, just, it's just better to put a positive spin.
And then he would have respect for you being the fashion police.
Exactly. Exactly.
Brothers in arms. Maybe you're in the same union.
As judges?
Yes.
Judges and fashion police are in the same union?
Yes.
Okay. Explains the robes.
Reminds me, I want to see Judge Dredd at some point. That looks interesting.
Dredd.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's called Judge Dredd.
No, it's just called Dredd.
Is it?
I believe so.
It's just called Dredd.
I think so.
That's, I don't want to see it anymore.
It's just, that's how it's, maybe I'm wrong. The only place I've seen it advertised is on the drive-in near where I live.
Now, I probably have asked this before. Yeah, I think I asked this to Richard Starkings. But, like, does the comic take place in the year 2000? Like, the stories in there? Like, they took place in the far future, but that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah. When the future was 2000. Mm-hmm. Now that we are 2012, and the thing takes place mm-hmm. 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that when Judge Dredd takes place?
I don't remember. There are dates, but I think they're, like, made up.
Okay, because...
You know, kind of like star dates on Star Trek.
Has there been an apocalypse?
I would think so.
It seems post-apocalypse. It's some
kind of, yeah, because there is like a kind of a wasteland around the city.
Well, there's definitely a wasteland around the city, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But has there been like a nukety-nukety... Before Judge Dredd, because I know in the Judge Dredd universe, there was some Russia nuked something in the States and Dredd. Spoilers for a story from 20 years ago, he nuked them back. Hopefully that's not in the movie or I'm a dick.
Judge Dredd nuked them back?
Yes, he did. It was like, you can't, Dredd. There's billions of people. Yeah, but punishment's punishment. Boom! And off the missiles went and boomity-boom.
He has to say citizen.
Could have been citizen. Could have been to another justice he was talking
about. Oh, okay.
All the others who take their helmets off because they get hot. But Judge Dredd does not get hot.
Well, those early Judge Dredd are pretty, like, a lot of them are drawn by Brian Boland, who's pretty darn good.
Back when he put pen to paper.
Back when he put pen to paper.
And
that's
not
right.
Computer to computer. Not pixel to pixel.
Yeah, what is it there? Stylus to computer screen? I guess he draws in a Cintiq. So
hand to mouse. Hand to electronic.
Mouse. I like that, hand to mouse. There you go. Hand to mouse. He lives hand to mouse.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
No, Brian Boland's fantastic.
Hmm.
Just, yeah, so good. I never really got into Judge Dredd and the 2000 AD stuff. It was never my cup of tea, but yes.
I did because I was looking for things that were different.
Tell me why you like it.
Well, I don't know if I loved it.
I didn't say, tell me why you love it. I said, tell me why you like it.
It was funny. Most of the stories were humorous.
Dark humor?
Yeah, it was kind of dark humor. It was ironic or satirical. You know, you're not really supposed to like Judge Dredd. He is a parody of authority.
Okay.
Written by hippies, you know, who lived in England. So, you know, it had a kind of a punk attitude, you know what I mean? So it kind of came out of a particular time period. And so it was, you know, it was better than Superman. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. I'm trying to think who was doing Superman at the time. John Byrne? Okay, I'll give it to you.
Yes.
At that point, I think Superman was doing was being tricked into doing porno movies in the John Byrne
comics. Is that what it is?
Yeah, there was a
story. That was a storyline?
That was a storyline. I think like in Action Comics where this character called Sleaze, who was like a lizardy type guy, tricked Superman into having sex with Big Barda. Scott Free, Miracle Man's lady.
Okay, now I'm really interested in this issue.
And
Big Barda is.
Big Barda's pretty good.
Pretty awesome.
And he videotaped it, and I think put the video out there somehow.
Yeah.
It was a weird story, but that ended up happening.
Big Barda as drawn by Kirby.
As drawn by Byrne trying to draw Kirby.
Yeah. Not so good.
Really not so good. Really not so good. I read another Byrne comic, well, drawn by Byrne, written by John Ostrander recently, which was Legends, which was a dark side story where he's like debating whether humans are good or evil, and it's a phantom stranger debates him, and then there's a bunch of superheroes in it, and it is absolutely terrible. And I'm sorry, I like everyone involved for the most part. There's mm-hmm. some John Byrne stuff that, you know, was really, you know, the foundation for me loving comics, and John Ostrander. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of his Suicide Stuff, Squad Stuff. I really like him.
Suicide Stuff. I like a lot of his suicide advocacy.
Well, he writes some suicide notes, and they really feel terrible that I've said that.
They're touching.
And he also very good stuff with the Spectre. But this was just stink, stank, stunk. And I don't normally say how much I dislike certain comics, but this was I got it on Comixology and went, oh, I remember this being good. And I think what I remember was the burgers I ate while reading it were quite delicious.
Were they Burger King?
Yes.
Oh, they're good.
Yes, I think I got them while I was working at the comic book shop,
There's Burger King just around the corner.
Yeah, because what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
You say around the corner, I just cut through the alley.
You cut through the alley.
Because I pushed the fence aside and went through because, you know what, who's got the time?
Thanks for the detail.
Yeah. Look, I'm painting a picture.
We're strolling down memory lane.
Look, man, this is close to radio. I come from a radio background.
Dragon After Dark.
That's right, Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
So you pushed aside the fence.
Everyone's listening to us in bed right now. They're all tucked in.
Walked past the video only. Yeah. Down towards London Drugs.
That's right.
Just painting a picture for everyone.
The London Drugs, I think, still exists.
Oh, it's still there. Yeah. And the Burger King's still there.
That's right. The Burger King never dies.
But the video only is gone.
That's right.
Because video is also gone. No one needs video only anymore.
Mm-hmm. It was an interesting little area. Like, I remember there was a place, there was a tropical restaurant that was across the street that we only ate at when I was in bowling. And we would go once a year for the bowling awards and we'd go to that tropical restaurant.
Restaurant.
It was some sort of tropical themed restaurant. And so you go and have some food. I remember there was pineapple involved and you get a fruity drink.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I would win I beat my coach award or something like
wow.
that. Wow. Most improved bowler. I'd get that a lot because I would have a very weak start to the year and be able to
finish strong.
I finish strong. Now, Judge Dredd.
Berberts. And Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
It sure is.
He finished strong.
That's right. 2000 AD, what was different between that and, say, like a Warrior magazine, which is where you'd get Marvel Man, which later became Miracle Man, and like Alan Moore would do stuff like Marvel Man and V for Vendetta. And that kind of business. What was the did Alan Moore ever do anything for 2000 AD?
I don't think so. I don't want to say no, positively no.
You're no Richard Starkings.
I am no Richard Starkings, mm-hmm. as you can tell from my lack of beard and hat. But I don't think so. And I think the difference between, like, 2000 AD to me is kind of like the grown-up version of Dandy or Beano.
Okay.
And that it's continuing characters doing the same thing every issue.
Now, a Dandy
eventually you're going to get bored.
Yeah, a Dandy would be like kids getting into trouble.
Okay, or it could be Lord Snooty and his friends, mm-hmm. or
Dennis the Menace.
Dennis the Menace, that's right.
And when we say the British, we're talking about the British Dennis the Menace,
yeah.
which was created at the exact same time, apparently, yeah. as the other Dennis the Menace.
Really? And the name was so obvious
yep.
that it took... It was just that moment. It was like Marconi and Tesla Jeez. Both inventing the radio at the same time.
Oh, is that right?
Or Fermi and the other guy whose name I can't remember discovering the atom at the same time.
Or Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Coming out at the same time.
That's right. I wish I could remember the two volcano movies. Dante's Peak
and Volcano.
Was it really called Volcano?
Wasn't it just called Volcano? Joe versus the Volcano.
Yes.
Dante's Peak.
Joe versus the Volcano. Absolutely.
There you go. Glad I could help everyone. Just here to help. But no, I think because, like, you think about 2000 AD, there's Judge Dredd, which, you know, you can enjoy for a while, and then you get bored of it. Like, I bought the comic, like, they put them out here as a comic collections.
Yeah.
And I bought them for a while, and then I got bored. And the same with Strontium Dog and a few other kind of stories. The Stainless Steel Rat, I think, was another character from 2000 AD.
Judge Dredd, when you've read 20, you've read a lot.
Yes. Because the stories are very similar. Yeah.
Take a break. You don't want to eat a bag full of cookies. You're going to mm-hmm. go, ooh, why do I have all those cookies? Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, I've taken a 30-year break from reading Judge Dredd. And I was looking at the clump of them, and because I was looking for some comics when I was, it was probably when I was looking for, I don't know, I was probably looking for the Stig's Inferno so I could draw the cover for the Ty Templeton show.
I just stumbled across the first issue of that at home the other day.
Oh, nice.
I was like, hey, nice.
Yeah. So I was just kind of glancing at them, but I had no urge to read them because I read them. You know?
There you go. Watch movies once, you only read your comics.
Read comics more than once. But when I was in England, they have big collections of Judge Dredd there. Mm-hmm. Like big, thick kind of...
Instead of Bibles in hotel rooms, they mm-hmm. have collections of Judge Dredd.
No, they have Gideon Bibles, which totally confused my daughters. Gideon Bibles.
Why is that?
They just didn't understand.
Because they write the Bible in a thick accent?
No.
Hello, I'm Adam and Eve, I am. Right. Don't touch the apples and pears,
This was in Scotland. This was in Scotland.
Oh, didn't be touching the apples and... Okay, go ahead.
There you go. Well, actually, it was in Wales.
Oh, forget it. So, you know what? You got enough acting out of me, brother.
Sneaky Dragon After Dark, everyone.
After Dark, everybody.
No, they were confused.
Check your windows.
They were confused by the mere presence of a Bible in a drawer in a hotel room.
What? Have they never stayed in a hotel in North America?
Yes, and I don't know why they didn't notice
it before. You went to your Disneyland,
mm-hmm. We stayed in a motel,
and they don't have the Book of Disney in the drawer. They have a Bible there.
Well,
right?
The thing is, as soon as we get in there, I throw it out the door.
Okay.
The Bible.
Because you're a vampire?
I don't know. They never noticed it before,
if you open up the Disney Bible, it's just, in the beginning,
there was
darkness.
But we don't go to a hotel or a motel room, and the first thing I do is whip open a drawer and then take out the Bible and start reading it to them. Hey, guys, listen to the story of Methuselah. And did you guys ever tell you to spoke Shadrach in the furnace? Let me just read that. Let me find it here. No, I just never even thought to bring it up. This trip.
But they never looked in the drawers.
No, they didn't look in the drawers. They're not nosy.
Okay.
They've been well brought up.
All right. But this time they were nosy.
Yes.
Once you're in Scotland, what's the deal?
All bets are off.
Right.
So, yeah.
They know Scottish people like Phyllis. To store money in strange places. So look in all the drawers for cash.
Phyllis was...
They're familiar with Uncle Scrooge.
Was looking through the drawer and she found a Bible and she's like, well, what's this here for? So I'd explain the Gideon Society and she said, well, people could just steal it. We're like, well, I think that's the idea, that if you want to take it, you can just take it away with you and they'll bring more, you know.
Right.
There's plenty to go around. But yeah, she seemed kind of confused, which I thought was odd because it just seems like you feel like you've known about it your whole life, but at some point you must have learned that there were Gideon Bibles. I just don't remember when I learned.
Well, when
that.
I go to the States now, I find the Book of Mormon is also in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got both of them now.
Wow, they're really pushing both of them.
Well, I'm guessing I always thought
equal opportunity.
Well, I always thought why doesn't any other religion go, hey, by the by, since we got a drawer that you're not using, how about we put our thing in there too? Why not?
That's right. It's always in the night table drawer. So
yeah, so you open it up and that's where you put your money so that the maid won't steal it.
Is that right?
Am I wrong?
Well, I think that's... Yes, keep doing that.
It's where you put your passport. You got to put it somewhere.
Put your passport, your phone, and your wallet.
In the Bible.
In there.
What you do, you hollow it out. You just carve it out with a knife.
That's right.
Then put your stuff in there.
The first thing... You know, if you do that, the first thing will happen is that the people you're trying to hide the stuff from will walk in on you. That happened to me. I had a book. I don't know why I decided to destroy this book, but I had a book... It was like an adventure for boys kind of book,
right.
But it wasn't very adventurous. The stories were quite dull. So I decided I was going to hollow it out so I would have a secret place to hide things. The first thing you learn when you start doing that is that it is very hard to cut a lot of paper.
Sure is.
Like, because your mom and dad aren't going
to
give you a
knife. The ironic thing is the book would have told you how to do that, but you destroyed,
destroyed it. That's right. I missed the part, how to hollow out a book. So I was doing it, though. I was cutting away... bit by bit through this book, and then my brothers walked in.
And the nice part about that is you know that they then went through every other book you ever had.
That's right. That would explain why they're all on the floor, half, opened up.
Yeah.
Spine
up. It wasn't like your brothers were reading them.
No. They weren't the readers in the family. That's true.
No.
And that's something against them.
Now, what would you have hidden in this book?
Booze.
You would not have hidden in the... Because you didn't drink until we started doing this show.
That's true.
And I said, Dave, the one thing that we've got to agree on is we've got to do the show drunk. And you're like, Ian, I've got to drive home afterwards. It's an hour and some on drive. And I'm like, it's not my problem.
Hey, you remember last week's show? Speaking, I just want to bring a little irony into the show here.
Oh, okay, we're going to go, everybody, we're going to talk about last week's show, which was not Sneaky Dragon After Dark. That was our regular dinner hour,
that's
fun
right.
time jamboree.
Well, I was laughing and mocking people on the bridge, waiting in line to get across the bridge while I was crossing the other way.
Dumb chumps, you said.
I believe I called them chumps and suckers.
You're leading a sucker's life, you said.
Yeah. Yeah, that was me tonight.
And then yelled, get a horse, which is weird. It was a real weird old-timey insult.
Right. Yes, get a horse. Get a wagon. He's like, what? Because the horse would be faster than your car when it finally gets through this line. That was me tonight, though. I was sitting in the line.
Oh.
I was that sucker, that pathetic wretch, loser.
How did the bridge feel, though? It's a new bridge.
It's not a new bridge. I went over the old bridge.
Oh.
You know the old bridge that is four lanes? Mm-hmm. Remember that bridge?
That you talked about?
The old bridge, it's a 4-lane bridge. Yeah. They have one lane open on it.
What's with the other three lanes?
I don't know.
Well, you must have looked.
Crew parking?
Was there nothing on
there? I didn't really look because I was in stop and start traffic. I was like, so you really can't like spend your time looking around rubbernecking. You're going to be looking at the brakes and brake lights in front of you.
All right.
And then there was a truck in front of me. Mm-hmm. And he was driving down the middle of the, like, because there was two lanes and then they had to go into one. That's why it was slow.
Oh, okay.
And he was driving in the middle of it. So people only could be in one lane. Like, they couldn't go around him.
All right.
Which actually was kind of good because the real problem with those merging lanes is that people, instead of merging when they realize, oh, it's a long line, I better get in the line, they all zoom up to the very end of the two lanes and then squeeze in there and everyone's having a break.
Yes.
So this guy, by doing that, prevented it and actually made it a lot smoother. So I was actually appreciative of his...
So shout out to him.
Yeah, good work, guy. And also, I let him in a line in front of me.
Good.
And he gave me a wave.
It's nice to get the wave.
It is nice because there's someone in front of another car in front of me who wouldn't let him in. Mm-hmm. And so, but he was in a big truck, so he couldn't really stop. So he ran over some pylons because he was having to keep drifting forward without coming to a complete stop, right? So I let him in and he gave me a friendly waves. So.
Well, there's a guy who like rides on his bike and is a maniac around here, and he will drive in front, like in the wrong, like you have no right of way, and he will just cut in front of you, or like clearly he's got the red light, you've got the green, and he will just wave in between. And what he does, even though he's looks like he's going to die, but people stop out of the way, and he'll always give the old thumbs up and a big smile, and it's like that doesn't negate what you just did. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're all in on this together, huh? Yeah. No, we're not. You're horrible. You're a horrible, horrible driver. Actually, there was a real dick move that two guys did I was mentioning we had a blackout here last week.
Okay.
Not in the office, but like everything up the street because there was a accidental, wink, wink, fire.
Oh, that's right.
And that blew out things. And two guys who have been like, they're hangabouts, hangabout fellows.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that they're homeless gentlemen. They're young men.
Okay.
And they're just hangabouts. They're always here.
They're always around.
24 hours a day, they're here.
Okay.
So we had the blackout.
Do they ride BMX bikes?
They ride nothing. They ride attitude.
Oh, they just ride attitude. Okay.
They're young. They're fit. They look healthy. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be one of those guys that like, you got. But this is the dick move they did. The lights were burned out, but they were out on the intersection. Mm-hmm. And this is Main and Broadway.
So it should be a four-way stop.
Yeah. And so they're doing stuff where they run out in front of traffic and go, stop, stop. Hey, guys, stop, stop. And it's like, oh, is there something really wrong? And then when he's there, hey, could I get got a couple bucks I could?
What?
Yeah. During an emergency, during that kind of business. So they're asking for money during that stuff. And it's like, no, sir. No, sir. I got no problem with people asking for change. But no, sir. One, you can't go, stop, stop. You got to stop. That's incorrect. And then asking for money during that kind of crisis. A boo. That is your neighborhood boo to you. I'm not calling the cops. I'm not even going to confront you on it. But I do say on my podcast, a boo.
A boo.
That is the Boothby boo you got there. Boo, sir.
I see a regular feature coming to the show.
Sure.
The Boothby boo.
I don't know what we do equivalent for the Dedrick.
Let's not go there.
Okay. Oh, that's what it's called. It's called the Let's Not Go There. Somewhere Dave does not want to go.
So we went way off topic because I want to go back to the photographs of us as young people.
Oh, I do too. And you're there with your comic. If you don't know, Dave did a comic book called Rounders.
Rounders,
It was a really good comic.
Yeah, the really good, that single issue. That
no, squeezed out. You had a short story and then you had like the full issue.
That's true.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
What, you're saying like if you write one thing, then it doesn't... So Catcher in the Rye, because it's not a series.
Well, he wrote more than one book.
Yeah, he wrote Catcher in the Whiskey.
Catcher in the Whiskey.
Catcher in the Gin.
Catcher in the Vermouth.
Yeah, he just went through the whole thing. He did a whole Sue Grafton. Just went down, found his theme and just went down the line.
Not Ruth Rendell?
Oh, look. If we have to go through this one damned more time. I hope you do at some point put Rounders online or some such. But that's just my personal thing because it was like a really comic I liked a lot. I'm throwing up my hands. I'm just saying my opinion, and I'm walking out of the room. Goodbye, Dave. And
barely speaking English.
I'm barely speaking English. I know.
It was a really comic.
It was really comic. Goodbye. And after midnight, I tired me. Goodbye.
Yes. Nice. No. Well, I mean, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. And
at the time, I was doing a mini comic called Hamster Bangers. Now, what I knew at the time was there was two things that were popular. One was the adolescent radioactive black belt hamsters, and the other was pornography. So I did a mini comic for 35 issues called Hamster Bangers. And what I would have is celebrities of the day having sex with hamsters.
Yes. Wow.
That did not exist.
The hamsters. That's, no. Your comic was called I.
Oh, that was one of my comics.
We kind of talked about it. And you did Bad Sex Funnies.
And Squares.
And Squares.
And apparently 10th Avenue Tales, though I don't remember that.
10th Avenue Tales, which was a kind of a jam between you and Susan.
Right. And there was also a Susan Ferguson. And there was also a thing we were trying to do called Wild Canadians, which we were trying to get a bunch of us cartoonists together.
Yep.
And we would like try to sell stuff together.
Okay.
And the name comes from apparently Dave Lasky saw us at APE, you, me, I believe, and Colin. We're supposed to like pay for snacks and we were like ditching.
We did that quite often that trip. You don't remember?
I don't remember that at all.
This was the first APE.
Okay.
First APE in San Jose.
Let me just say where the name came from first and then we'll talk about our shame. and Dave Lasky, who's a wonderful cartoonist. If you ever get a chance to see his comic, Boom Boom. Well, he does many other things besides that.
Well, he has that
Young Neil Young, other things,
He has that Carter Family.
Carter Family, yes.
Coming out soon.
Fantastic stuff. He was heard to say by Colin Upton, he was heard to say, well, you Canadians are wild.
Yeah, he said that to us. You were there too.
I was there too. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this was.
And he said it in that kind of David Lasky way, you know, wow, you Canadians are wild.
Yes.
You know, they had the kind of.
So we went, we know something that we can rip off, and we called ourselves the Wild Canadians. And it was, I'm trying to think who was in that. That was you, me. I believe Colin was in it. Mm-hmm. Paul Sloboda was in that. And Pia Guerra was in that, who I am now married to.
Yes.
Currently married to. Though, and Sneaky Dragon After Dark, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yep.
I'm trying to think
There's
who else
no
was
judgment
in
here.
I can't think of who else was part of that, but apparently other people were.
Susan wouldn't have been part of that?
Susan would have been a part of that. Susan Ferguson, yep. Maybe James Lloyd, was he part of that?
I don't remember this.
I'm trying to think if he was doing the trip at that time or not. Once again, we're doing lists, which is what we're famous for. Sure. We'll also just be saying random names.
Remembering out loud.
Okay, but what did you want to say about the photos?
Oh, well, one was, I thought it was rather hilarious that, there's one of us at, there's a few of us at one of the Spirits of Independence
stops. Would you explain what that was?
Which was Dave Sims' publicity tour, I believe in 92 or 94? I think it was 92.
Sounds about right.
And he was, going from town to town and, you know, he would do stops.
Solving mysteries.
That's right. Part of his was solving mysteries. And he, so he would, whatever town he was in, he would have various alternative or independent, like self-publishers or whatever, small press. Cartoonists would also be able to have tables for free, right? For free.
I believe so, yeah.
At the shows, and they could kind of sell their stuff with Dave there. Well, people were, of course, there to see Dave and
when they were too nervous
Gerhard
to go up to talk to Dave, they would wander over to our tables and build up their confidence.
Yeah, and so at that particular show, what was great was that Ian had written a sign that, because there was three male cartoonists, and then Susan Ferguson, who, as you can tell by her name, I don't want to prejudge here, but she's a girl.
You don't have to prejudge. This was 20 years ago.
This is 20 years ago. I don't want to postjudge.
Okay.
But I just mean,
you don't want to judge Dredd.
I don't want to come down on anyone who's, any boys her name are Susan.
Come on. Give me that was Judge Dredd.
It was good.
Okay. All right.
I didn't step on it.
No, you didn't. You just kept driving. All right. Keep going. Sorry. You know what? You're not driving over the bridge now. Pause and acknowledge.
Okay.
I don't need your pity applause. Okay, but you're right. So what was going on around that time that we named ourselves after?
Well, that would have been issue 186 of Cerebus.
Okay.
The famous...
to a layman who is listening to this, what occurred in this... First of all, what's the comic? And then what happened?
Well, of course it's Cerebus.
Lay some pipe, sir.
Lay some pipe. This is Cerebus.
You're the doozer in this Fraggle Rock
and
scenario.
And this was during the time when Dave Sim started doing the really tiresome reads... reads. I think that's what it's called. The chapter of Cerebus called Reads.
Now, what is, first of all, sorry, because again, we've got general listeners.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What's Cerebus?
So Cerebus is the, what is Cerebus? It's a funny animal comic?
Let's go with that. If you're familiar with Howard the Duck,
Yeah.
Along those same lines, in that there's like one creature who's anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic. Meaning they can't use their hands.
Sneaky dragon.
Wait, that's not true at all. Sneaky dragon. But yeah, like Howard.
Means he can use both hands.
There you go. But yeah. Like Howard the Duck, only well. There's one animal that can talk and do and smokes a cigar and kind of business. And so this was about, this was an aardvark, and he was a barbarian and sort of the Conan.
It was started off as a parody of Conan.
There you go.
A parody of
Conan O'Brien.
Parody of Conan O'Brien in a kind of Barry Windsor Smith style, an attempt at that, because Dave Simon was a very, very rough cartoonist when he started.
Right. And he's a Canadian. Let's all just give a little
That's
of
why
that
he was
that.
Rough.
That's right.
Rough, tough. He's the son of a lumberjack.
Right. He lived in Kitchener, Ontario.
He produced his own
changed
paper.
Changed its name from Berlin, Ontario, after Hitler fucked things up.
No, after World War One. Or during World War One, it changed its name to Kitchener.
After Hitler's father fucked things up in World War One,
I assume that father.
Yeah, that was Hitler's father that caused World War One, right?
Probably
he shot Archduke
Ferdinand,
the Duke of Earl.
He shot the Duke of Earl.
Right, Dukes of Earl.
Yes, right. there was a quick succession of them.
That was because machine guns had just been invented.
Well, the thing was that there were the Duke father was in the car with his four Duke sons.
Right,
when he was shot. Obviously, the oldest son became the Duke. He got shot.
Well, the first thing...
And it went to that
before
the
that
line
happened,
of succession.
Hitler asked them to stop the car and put up your Dukes. Now, what they thought was time to fight. And he just meant send the Dukes out. But because it looked like they were going to fight, that's when he opened fire and shot all the Dukes. That caused World War One. And Hitler Jr. finished it off in World War II. And because it was hard to tell the two apart, dad and son, second guy had to grow the mustache.
Sneaky history after dark.
Anyway, Cerebus was a comic about an aardvark.
Yep.
And it started off as a parody of Conan.
And then
sir.
It just grew into a kind
Sell these people on this comic because you love this comic.
I do love this comic. In fact,
sell them.
I'm wearing, look at the shirt I'm wearing today. I actually pulled this out.
You're wearing one saying Cerebus for Dictator.
Yeah, Cerebus for Dictator. Because I'm kind of celebrating the fact that the...
Celebrating dictators.
Celebrating dictators.
Happy Dictators Month, everybody.
Yep. Celebrating dictators and celebrating the fact that High Society is coming out in the digital edition on the October 10th. So that's coming up pretty
soon. Good salesmanship. Keep going with this.
So Cerebus started off as a parody of barbarian comics or the Conan. But it soon kind of grew into this political satire, which is the High Society. Then it became a
There was Marx Brothers characters in it. There was a little, started off a little parody of Red Sonja was in there. Then you got, you ended up with especially one of his best characters was Julius, who was a Groucho
Julius,
character,
yeah,
Lord Julius.
Then they had Elric, a parody of Michael Moorcock's Elric as Elrod, who spoke in a Foghorn Leghorn voice. There was Moon Roach. Artemis Roach, this character
who kind of made fun of all the comics trends of the time.
Yeah,
so
that's
he'd be
right.
A Wolverine type. He'd be a Neil Gaiman's Sandman type.
Super Sacred Wars, which happened during the Church and State, which was a parody of religion. And then...
So politics and religion were satired heavily in this comic.
Yeah. And then...
186 happened.
Then it took a 186 degree turn. And in terms of, I don't think it was that big a turn personally. I think if you read the preceding comics of when Cerebus goes to the moon, I know this is going to be kind of confusing to people, but yes, there is a mention of an ascension, and Cerebus kind of has an ascension when he goes to the moon. It's a fake ascension, but he goes to the moon and he talks to the judge.
Because the moon landing was faked.
The moon
and
landing
Dave
was faked.
Dave Sim proved that in his comic.
Actually, in the comic, there is the footprint of Neil Armstrong on the moon.
But he called it Neil Arm Week because it's a satire.
It's really confusing why it's there. Because who knows when did Cerebus take place then? But anyway, the whole moon landing thing is given this feminist reading as an invasion of the feminine by the male.
Okay.
So it's like the rape of the moon.
So we go through politics, then we go through religion, then we go to gender issues.
We go to gender issues.
And when gender issues are brought up, well, the kettle boils over.
So he wrote 186, and he described women as female voids and men as shafts of light, male...
Right. Well, he did not even female voids, just voids.
Just voids.
But yeah. Women are voids, men are shafts of light. To symbolize what?
I don't know. Creativity?
A little bit, yeah. I think it was
I don't know, because he reverses it later.
Basically, women
to
take,
male voids
men give,
and female
yeah.
light.
Okay,
so
well, but here's
happened.
The thing. No one knew that was a coming.
I know. So everyone was up in arms,
right. So
waving
it's basically,
their arms.
It's basically like someone going, hey, you know what race really just take and don't give? this race, and you're like, holy shit. And it's like, wait, I've got a 5-issue series that will come out later that will do all the other races, but not even telling you that. So you're just like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
And
it was, but I think what really kind of made it to an avalanche was it was just when the internet was kind of getting up and going, like in terms of bulletin boards mm-hmm. and people, you know, and the whole kind of flaming and all that kind of stuff that became all the rage at that time. So, you know, this was
flaming a rage at that point.
Well, I think like the whole bulletin board culture was kind of coming about that time.
It gave some anonymity so you could say what you felt
or
you could just be mean if you felt like it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who read comics are people who got bullied. And so, you know what they say is like whatever happens to you, you know, you pass it along. A lot of people who are bullied become bullies. And so when you give people who are bullied access to anonymity and there you go. And then all of a sudden, welcome to the internet.
Yeah.
Welcome to YouTube comments pages.
Yeah, I think, I think Sim kind of fed the fuel where, you know, he fanned the flames, I guess I should say.
He fanned the flames and fed the fuel.
And fed the fuel the fire.
But he didn't start the fire.
No.
It was always burning.
It was always
burning. The world's been turning.
And since the world's been turning.
Dave Sim, huge Billy Joel fan.
Apparently.
Right.
Well, because Billy Joel, Shaft of Light.
Dave,
mm-hmm.
I think you're in a glass house right now, throwing stones.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, only the good die young, Ian. So I'm going to take some chances here.
Okay.
And
please talk to the strangers out there. Are we going to do this? Are we going to keep going?
I don't know. I've run out of.
Are you done with all the Billy Joel references?
What do you mean? You started it. I just.
All right. Well, sing us a song. You're the piano man. Go.
Okay. Thank you.
Fuck! I wish we were doing this at 9 o'clock on a Saturday. That would make this so good.
Why? Because the song takes place?
Yeah, that's how it starts. It starts, it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday, and then he goes on a killing spree. I might be remembering the song wrong.
Remember me, I'm the piano man?
That's right. And he just starts firing guns around the room and just starts slaughtering people.
Right.
Dave, I'm remembering a Judge Dredd comic. My mistake.
That's okay, citizen.
That was my mistake.
So when 86 came out, and I think there was a lot of outrage from people. People were up in arms.
I think it was purposefully, you know, inflammatory. Like it wasn't like, you know, here's my opinion, but take it or leave it. I think it was really, this is the way it is.
So it would have been later than 92 then, because it would have been 94. Because I think it was after Ape, after we met Dave at Ape.
Okay, well, I'll tell you something that happened around that time was we had met. Oh, this sounds weird to like name drop, but we had met Chester Brown
mm-hmm.
and he was at that time going out with Soo Kyun Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's public knowledge, as the comics have shown. And it feels weird to mention people we know, but one of the first times I ever discussed it was with Soo Kyun. And we were like at some sort of library and she went, okay. Did you read that? What the fuck? And then we got into a conversation. I think you were there at the time as well. Mm-hmm. And that was the first discussion I had. So it would have to be after we had met him.
My reaction is a bit different. I'm like, yeah, what the fuck with all the writing in a comic book? I don't want to read writing.
Yeah, it does come across as a bit dull.
Yeah.
Though was Jacka's story before that?
Yeah.
Okay. Jacka's story was sort of the first time that he had done large things of text. But that was generally regarded as, whoa, good for you, taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
And then as it kept going, went, yeah, you sure took it to the next level. Listen, that's really... Yeah, that's good stuff. It was sort of like listening to jazz, and you're like, I know this is really intelligent, and it's the notes you're not playing, but could you just get back to the...
Well, that's one thing I would say would be a drawback to Cerebus being a monthly periodical, rather than... Because if you read... Because one day I was at a used bookstore, and in the store they had Reeds, they had Flight, they had Mines there. So I bought those.
Okay.
Because I had kind of... I kind of gave up around Reeds on Cerebus. I didn't continue on.
Right.
Mostly because I kind of gave up on reading comics at the time, just because it became too hard for me to find comics to read because all the comic book stores...
Because you were going blind.
All comic book stores were closing down.
I see, yes.
And the ones that were convenient for me to go to were gone, like Pop was a great
Pop
one.
Pop Media Culture.
Yeah, because I could stop there on my way
Scooter
home from
Johnson
work.
Scooter Johnson ran that. Very nice store.
Yeah, it was a great store. And I could stop there on my way home, just pull up, buy... Weekly.
Oh, Jesus. My first, well, I'm so embarrassed. I got such an embarrassing memory of that place where I walked in one day and they went, hey, man, did you hear? Kurt Cobain killed himself. I thought, I have no idea who that is. And I went, oh, damn. And I tried to buy comic books and they're like, I don't know, man. It just feels so weird. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't add to this at all. I've got no idea who that is. And I'm just buying comics and just like,
you're like, was he the Silver Age Flash?
He's like,
that's what you should have
asked. It'll never be the same. No, never be the same. Sure hope.
I remember people feeling that way.
I thought it was someone local. I thought it was a local cartoonist or something. I was just like, it sounds like just a regular guy.
Yeah.
But it was like, yeah, I know it was quite serious. I think I went back the next day and met Dan Savage. And he shook my hand for a very long time.
Wow. That's because he had long hair then. Long flowing locks.
What? No, he didn't actually.
You did.
Oh, I did. Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
I did.
Yes. So what were we going to say? Oh, yeah. So when we were at this...
Talk more about my hair.
Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
After Dark, that's when the gray comes in. That's when you guys start dying it. Let's be honest.
Well, let's see. Well, yeah, it's just to make a brief. I was driving home. I was giving someone a ride downtown last week when I came down for the show. And this person.
Hitchhiker,
yeah. And he said to me, Dave, has your hair always been gray? I said, I don't think so. He goes, yeah, because ever since I've known you, it's been gray. I was like, gee, we've known each other for over 10 years. But I looked at those pictures and I was like, ah. No, dark at one point.
Yay. Proof.
But anyway, so when we were at the show, there was the three of us, three boys and a girl.
Right.
Three guys and a dame.
Holy shit. Yeah, this has been a long time getting to this bit. Sorry about that.
And so...
What are we, some kind of stream of consciousness podcast?
You had written on the poster, you put three shafts of light and a void.
I think I just called it three shafts and a void.
Oh, three shafts and a void. That's right. And that was great. It was just... such a great teasing thing to do.
Well, there was a little bit of me, too, that kind of went, I got to kind of comment on it, because otherwise you're sort of endorsing this kind of thing. And so it was nice, because, Gerhard came by, who was the Gerhard,
yeah,
apparently.
Gerhard,
yeah, before he changed his name to Gerhard. and he gave a little, one of those.
Yeah.
And so that was like a little bit of a nice endorsement from there. And then I think Dave came and did a little, one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he found it super funny, but he gave it the old, well, it's a joke. I acknowledge. I acknowledge that something's been said.
Yeah.
There it is. And here we go.
Well, Dave Sim is the kind of person, I don't think he's a giver in, you know what I mean? He's a giver in a conversation that he likes to be the conversational person.
Yeah.
In a conversation.
Like, there's some people that when you talk to, they like to hold court.
Yes. He holds court. Definitely holds court.
And it's
court.
Like, that's fine if that's what you want.
Yeah.
It's
not a lot of give and take, but...
it gives me more time to eat.
The food that we're stealing by running out before.
Exactly. I feel like such a dick for that.
I'm
so sorry, Dan Vado.
We had no money.
I know we had no money, but Dan Vado, I'm so sorry. Let me make you some snacks. I feel terrible about this. Yeah. I'll make you a sandwich next time I see you.
But it wasn't just
slave
him.
Labor.
No, we went to a party given by Preeny Press, I believe it was.
Okay.
And we weren't even invited. We crashed it.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's different.
That's fine. That's fine.
No one expected us to pay for that.
No, no. But we weren't invited. We crashed it. Lasky was there as well. And he gave us that as well. So
was he invited?
He just found it amusing that we were like everywhere. Because we were at everything that had food involved in it. And chomping.
Well, that's something I learned when I've also semi-crashed just for laughs. And because there's a party and there's a lot of stuff and it's like, well, just as long as you're not an asshole, just be there and eat some food and be nice.
No one's going to stop you.
And I think we were pleasant to people. We weren't like, you know, your problem is apparently I was a bit of a dick with this whole putting the thing up with the three shafts and a void. But
do you think that was dickish?
It was a little dickish. Yeah. But I stand by it.
I don't think it's dickish at all. I think that when someone writes something like that, you know, they open themselves up for comment, parody, you know.
I absolutely
retort.
Agree. I absolutely agree.
You know,
but it's let's see. Oh, geez, how would you?
I don't think it's. I don't think it's. You think it's?
You know what it is?
What?
I'll tell you what it is. This is the perfect word for it. Cheeky.
It's cheeky. But what's wrong?
No, that might be cheeky. All right.
It's as good as the come over here and taste the plant sign. You also
put that picture up so you'll understand what that is. There's a picture of Dave, me, and Paul Sloboda, who was another cartoonist at the time and is still a cartoonist. He still exists. Why am I putting him in the past? The only thing that's in the past is his ponytail. And I can't judge his ponytail. I had one later, too. Dave had one probably.
I wear a ponytail, yeah.
Listen, we've all done the ponytail.
We've all experienced the 90s.
That's right.
But I was ahead of the curve.
How so?
Well, I was kind of ahead of the because I did the same thing. I had the long hair, the goatee thingy.
Yes.
But I did it in 90, 91.
Okay.
So, because mine came off with cancer.
Right.
Chemo destroyed my long hair.
Right.
So, yeah.
You took the easy way out and just went, I'm going to go for this.
That's right. That's the easy way out. I said, I don't want people questioning why I'm cutting my long hair.
That's right.
Thinking that I'm selling out.
Hey, Dave, why are you cutting your hair? What?
Because
you like the man? Are you going to the man? Right.
That's right. Well, that's the thing. Like, I was always singing that David Crosby song, Almost Cut My Hair, mm-hmm. you know, all the time. And
you were always impregnating lesbian singers.
I was impregnating lesbian singers, and they didn't want me to. That was a problem.
No, you would just mail your sperm in the mail, yeah, and then right. It was sort of that Mexican jumping bean type mm-hmm. thing, and the envelope would open, and then, you're pregnant.
That's how it worked.
Which, in the 90s, was very dangerous to do.
Yeah.
You don't want that kind of loose sperm in the mail.
No.
So anyway, we had that sign, mm-hmm. and was there anywhere you were going with that story?
No, I just like that sign.
Okay.
I just had to bring it up because I like the sign.
It was funny, though. It was like when...
Well, I was more bringing up the Cerebus, the digital thing coming out.
Right.
Well, do you want to talk just a bit about that? Because...
I just want to say one thing about... really quickly. Okay.
No, go ahead.
Which was funny because Colin had put up that picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, oh, that's funny that this whole three shafts and a void thing was going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, that really dates it because that was then. And this is what I say as I'm checking the computer. And someone's like talking about, there's a little discussion online on the Comics Journal page about, you know, Dave Sim and some other things. Mm-hmm. And this all gets brought up again.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like... kind of lightly looking through it, and then I notice my name's there, and I'm kind of dragged into this discussion, and it's something from that period of time, and I'm like, geez, everything old is new again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't read that part. I read quite a bit of the what do you call it? The chain? The thing?
Thread?
The thread. That's a word for it.
Are you thinking of chain mail?
Say what?
Chain letter?
Thinking of chain mail.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. At the end of every one of the posts online, it says, if you do not forward this to 8 people, you will die.
Yeah.
But if you do, you will receive good luck.
Oh.
That's why the thread has gone on so long.
Apparently.
I know someone was trying to like cap it at 666 and went, no, and they just kept it going. It's now at like 700 or something.
What's that?
The thread is now about 700 thing replies long.
Really?
Yeah. Someone wanted to cap it at 666 really just for fun.
I think I was doing the same. I was kind of going through and ignoring some of the people, but reading some of the others.
Well, you should. That's how you should read the internet.
There's kind of a lot of lunatics that are engaging.
No. Really?
Yeah, really?
Online?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Whatever you say.
But why? Well, okay. Well, I'll just say one thing about that I like.
You
I like
say more than one thing if you want.
I like that Dave Sim is publicly, is holding negotiations for publishing in public. Like, I think that's kind of neat that he's doing that. That
I like that kind of transparency
open. All open. And it's kind of the same with the Kickstarter campaign, which I contributed to for the Digital High Society. Because what excited me about that idea was that it's not just going to be the comic, which I own. So I don't like reading the computer that much.
You don't lease.
Well, they don't have a tablet, which I think is the best way to read computer stuff.
I will agree.
Laptop isn't so ideal.
Nope.
But I still contributed to the campaign because what I really liked about it is the background material that's going to also be make up. So you have the comic itself, mm-hmm. and then you have all of Dave Sim's notes, his rough drawings, his studies and stuff like that he did preparing, for the comics and stuff like that. That's very interesting to me. And so, you know, I really hope that Church and State is done that way. And I really hope that Reeds is done that way as well, which I know will be controversial, but I'd like to see his notes and things that he did to prepare for Reeds.
Sure.
And some of the thoughts that went into it and went into the other things. And I know that Sim, his personality is abrasive. He's obviously, I don't know, has some kind of social problem that he has trouble relating to people as a human being because
right.
his way of dealing with people is very abrupt.
Now let's just say this was, okay. Now I know we're in 2012. Sure. Let's go with that.
We're in 2080.
Let's say this is the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
What would you call that kind of thing if it was like the 50s? Just like, he's quite the character. Would it be something like that? Like you wouldn't
Well, I would
like,
say the same thing about
Truman
him now.
Truman Capote, he's such an, it's just like, yeah, there's the author. He's got his quirks.
Yeah.
He's got his strong likes and dislikes. He's,
I mean.
He's maybe if you were being mean, a little bit of an oddball, but you just go like, no, that's a guy. That's what he's like. You just go, that's a thing.
Well, it's funny. I was just reading an Ed Sanders book called Fug You about his time, his experiences
in the
60s.
There's no need for that kind of language on this.
Sorry.
We have not sworn, by the way, in quite a few episodes, I believe.
I swore last time.
Good for you.
And we have to keep our explicit rating.
We do have to keep our explicit rating.
So
we actually could just describe stuff in detail.
But he's talking,
and that would be the explicit rating
there,
as
there
well.
You go,
technically,
yeah. Well, I'll do that now. He's talking about Ezra Pound, who was a great influence on his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was Ezra Pound was a terrible fascist and anti-Semite who wrote lots of horrible things about Jewish people.
Okay.
And supported Hitler and supported Mussolini, lived in Italy. You know, his friends made him go into a mental institution as some sort of a mea culpa for his behavior. But as soon as he was released, he went back to Italy again. Mm-hmm. And it didn't change his beliefs or anything. That doesn't change the fact that he wrote beautiful poetry. Sometimes it's an unfortunate part that, you know, flawed people do things. And that's pretty much all of us, actually. So mm-hmm. we all, you know, so I have trouble judging Sim or anyone else, you know. Like, I think if Sim was going around and writing a book, you know, an instruction booklet, or writing some sort of fake, you know, the protocols of the Elders of Zion or something like that, mm-hmm. I would feel differently about the fact that he wrote a 6,000 issue or 6,000 page graphic novel, part of which deals with gender issues and part of which deals with, you know, kind of crazy religious syncretic religion combining Islam, Christianity, and Judaism.
What makes that crazy? What's the crazy aspect?
Well, crazy is kind of an unfair thing. But what,
why I'm giving you a second chance to relabel that.
Can I say cranky then?
If you want, you can say whatever you want.
I just mean
there's what you feel like. There's the word that you want to say that's your gut word, and then there's the brain word.
I shouldn't say crazy because that's being unfair, and I don't judge him that way.
It also means something is not firing or connecting or is mental
ill. Yeah, see, I don't really think he's crazy. I just find it interesting, but I also think it's kind of willfully eccentric or cranky.
Well, it feels like someone with a megaphone. So it's like it's someone who, like, when you go, like, I don't want to judge this person, but it's not you not judging them. They're coming out and, like, saying mm-hmm. their thing loudly mm-hmm. to get attention from you. So yeah. I don't feel like people responding to that are being, you know, the equivalent of when you say online, like, a flamer or whatever, which is not the same as a flamer. You know what I'm talking about.
You meant flame war.
That's right. Yeah. Well, there's, you know, it's the old, you know, the person, there's always going to be cranks. You know, if you've put something online in a message board, people are going to go, fag, at some point. People are going to say, you know, something negative or, hey, you're fat or whatever. They're going to say something. Mm-hmm. Okay, that will occur just randomly. You can't help that.
Yeah.
But, like, when you come out with a controversial statement and then you keep fanning the flames, as you were saying, mm-hmm. he wants the attention. Like, there's no way, like, you're, it's the guy on the bus who is not being quiet. He keeps saying what he believes. And then you go like, yeah, sure is. And then you turn back to yourself and like, okay, at a certain point, I got to like talk to him. You argue, but like, here's the thing. You can't argue with that guy because he's thought this to death from every angle.
Yeah.
And you're just, he will put you into here's the thing. If there's an AV Club interview with him. Have you ever seen mm-hmm. that one?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. And here's the interviewer, if you're reading the interviewer, I think objectively and his stuff, he's asking Sim some questions and Sim keeps going.
She is asking Sim.
Fair enough. And he keeps Dave Sim keeps going, well, just like a liberal to be the, just mm-hmm. like a blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And so he's not treating her like an individual.
Yeah.
He is lumping her into a category, putting the same hat on her that he would put on all these other people. Mm-hmm. And the reason that she is saying these things is not because she's a person who is questioning him as a person and wants to know these things, but because she's drank the Kool-Aid, brother, and she just believes this stuff. And you know what? Well, this feminist is just asking me this, or this left-winger is asking me that. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation's dead.
Yeah.
Because once you've called a person that kind of thing, fuck it. It's over.
Yeah.
And so nothing ends up going. But if you say it to him, well, then, oh, brother, what's with all the judgment? I'm like, well, did you see? You know, it's the person who's throwing 10 punches. Then when one punch is thrown back at him, it's like, hey, why are we fighting?
Well, I feel like he's kind of backed away from that behavior. Like, I mean, that was done shortly after Cerebus ended. So that was 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know him personally. I've met him several times, but I don't think Sim's someone that you can know.
Well, let's forget knowing him personally. Let's just go just from what's written. Let's go with what he is at, instead of thinking what might be in his head.
But what had been written since then too, since 2006, since that Onion interview.
Okay.
Because, I mean, there's lots of things that he's written since then that seem more balanced.
So he doesn't...
And less crazy. No, I keep saying crazy, but less...
Because that's less the word strident. You want to say. That's
less
right.
strident.
It's off the beaten path. It's extreme.
It's eccentric. Well, you know...
It's eccentric is a good way of putting it. That's what we would call it in the 50s. It's an eccentric.
Like, I don't hide the fact that I'm a Christian.
Okay.
So, obviously, I don't think he's right in his religious views. I don't think he's wrong to believe in God.
But you don't start a sentence saying to me, but Ian, as an atheist, what you think is this. You hear what I have to say, and then you give me your opinion on how you feel.
That's right.
But I think that you give me the benefit of the doubt that what I'm saying is coming from me as a person
that's
and
right.
not me as a whatever category you shove me in.
I don't say, well, typical atheist, Ian, you just shovel it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Because then what you're doing is you're fighting with me, but you're arguing with me as a viewpoint and not a person.
Yeah.
And
as if you haven't thought about this as well and developed your own opinions that are meaningful to you.
Well, if you ever...
Because it's obviously a meaningful thing.
Yes, but
is there a God? That's pretty meaningful.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. If you talk to someone who's, I was going to say, an extreme Christian, let's go with this, and you know the types I'm talking about,
sure,
that kind of thing.
Sure.
They could say something you would go as one of the most hateful things in the world, and they've twisted the Bible into a way to justify their position.
Of course.
And you're like, well, in no way did Jesus mean that. If you read the Bible, Jesus didn't say that. But it's like the way I compare it, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but it's like a video game. Have I ever compared this to a video game?
I don't know.
Okay.
You usually do compare everything to a video
game. Right. But here's the way I go with
typical atheist.
Comparing things to video games. But it's like this. If you've played a video game, modern video game, what happens is you play for a while and then you end up with a boss battle. And this giant comes out and it looks like you can't beat this thing. There's no way you can beat this thing. But you play it enough and you realize the guy's got a little bit of a limp. And you go, ah, I'm going for that leg. And then you go, ooh, I see something in the arm. And you go for the arm and you go, ooh, his eye is blinking. And then you go for the eye and you can beat him. So here's the thing. That person who's got this hateful opinion going, let's say God hates fags or people with AIDS, it's God's vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
They have had this debate with people for so long
that
they know every way you're going to come at them in that argument. And they know how to counter it. And they can, if not beat you, they can hit you in different directions. You're like, what? You know, and they know how to make you emotional so that you're mad and you'll do this. And they know how to dismiss a certain thing. It's what Ann Coulter does when you see her.
Yeah.
She'll say the biggest bullshit, but like she'll be intellectual. And then the second that you're getting her on the intellect, she'll switch to emotion.
Yeah.
She knows how to hit you in that weak spot. And it's boom, boom, boom.
It goes both ways.
But someone with a shitty point of view will have had practice.
Mm-hmm.
And he will know, or she will know how to get you. And that, I think, is, you know, when I see interviews with someone like, you know, Dave Sim, he knows when to switch back and forth between, you know, I'm going to do this on, we're just going to logic this.
Yeah.
And then it's not logic. Then it turns to faith. Then it turns, we're talking science. Now it's talking to science he's just made up. Yeah. Now it's talking to a religion he just made up. And I can't debate that because I've never heard of this thing that he's talking about.
Well, it's curious. He believes that there is
I've got to take my duck to mass. Okay, I don't know.
He believes that there is a trickster spirit that is – because if you read the Genesis, there are – well, in the early part of the Old Testament, there are two forms of God mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
There's Jehovah and Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. So because there's two different strands that were edited together into Genesis and the other books – like two different traditions that were, you know, put together by editors later on, probably during the time of the Babylonian exile. Those five books were kind of put together from oral traditions.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's the same thing when you read the New Testament and you read like the Synoptic Gospels and then you read John and there's these contradictions between them. The question you ask yourself is, why didn't they get rid of the contradictions? No one would know then that there's some problem with, was it Passover or the day after or the day before? When exactly was Christ crucified and blah, blah, blah? It's the same with them. Like when you read it, you go, well, how come they just didn't smooth it out? But because the traditions were sacred, they didn't remove those different mentions things. So the Elohim tradition and the Jehovah tradition are kind of two streams that are put together in the Bible. So you have like the two Genesis stories.
Okay.
They're not exactly the same. Like if you read those stories, one is the creation of the earth and the other is the creation of man. There is a creation of man in the first part, but the other one is more detailed and is more about God's relation to man.
You're doing some really good hand gestures that I wish I could see right now.
Sorry. So what...
I'm assuming that hand is Adam from where you're putting your finger.
That's right.
Okay.
So what Sim... because down my throat to the Adam's apple, is that what you meant?
Sure.
So what Sim does is he takes those two mentions of God and he separates them in... So they're not the same God.
Right.
Just two different names. They're two different things.
Is this in his own personal faith or is this in the book of Cerebus?
This is his own personal faith. And he also mentions it in because
he touches on it in Cerebus.
The last part
of
Cerebus, there's a long Bible.
I don't want to do too many spoilers for Cerebus, but there are issues about man, woman, man in woman, man as woman. Da, da, da. Yeah, okay.
Well, Cerebus is a hermaphrodite.
Right? Spoilers!
Sorry.
That's what I'm trying to avoid, game.
So anyway,
oh man, okay.
Hey, he doesn't wreck the enjoyment of the whole thing. So anyway,
nope.
It's not like a twist ending.
Okay, thanks for the future, Cassandra. Nah. Keep going.
So Sim has taken those two descriptions and made them into two different things.
Okay.
Real God, fake God.
All right.
Male spirit, female spirit. Okay. The female spirit is
again,
the fake one.
These are great hand gestures.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
This is a way for me to think.
Absolutely. I'm not slamming you for
it. So that's his reading of the Bible.
Okay.
And even when you get to the New Testament, he separates the Synoptic Gospels and the Johannine, the Gospel of John, into two separate things. One is real, Synoptic Gospels. The Gospel of John is fake. It's you know, inspired by this trickster spirit.
Now, am I wrong that he has also incorporated elements of Islam into this as well?
Well, he reads all three of them as the truth.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can have the Old Testament and the New Testament together. That's not a big not a big twist to Christian tradition. They already are together.
Sure.
Hopefully modern Christians don't hate Jews as much as old Christians did.
But he has like built his own religion basically out of parts.
But he also believes the Quran is true as well. So Muhammad is also a prophet.
Right.
Who wrote things that are true.
Does anyone else believe this? Or is this, has he?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
There's probably some mix-ups out there. But it's not a popular
I'm
not saying
place.
This is a condescending thing. Here's my one problem with that. And maybe I'm out of line for believing this, but this is just the thing. I think one of the things about religion in general is it's kind of healthy to not to have questions about your faith. So if you are a Christian, you read the Bible and go, this. Mm-hmm. And then you can discuss it and maybe there's some elements that you agree with and some you don't. But I think it's actually healthy to not agree with absolutely everything in your faith completely, or at least be discussing it. Now, when you assemble your own faith, when you've built it yourself, you agree with it completely because you built it. There's nothing to disagree with.
Yeah.
So the faith that you have built, you agree with yourself. There's no build. You see,
dialogue.
Okay, but to me, it's like you and Christianity. You are stronger for your faith, but your faith is a separate thing from you, and then you build together, and it makes a stronger whole.
Mm-hmm.
But to him, he has assembled the elements that work for him to basically be what he already believes, and not to feed what he already believes. But you know, he's got a couple of jigsaw puzzle pieces in him, and he's shaped this to fit those pieces that were either missing or that he wants.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's as healthy as a faith. I don't think it reinforces what you already believe.
And there's one other thing when you talk about faith is the fact that you're part of a community of believers as well. So you are not just a Christian now, you are a Christian then, right? You are part of a history, a 2,000-year history of wrestling with, dealing with the issues, whether it's Christ's commission or the resurrection.
You're part of something larger.
What do all these things mean? People have been wrestling. I mean, a lot of our understanding of Christ is post-biblical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's very little description of Christ, even as a divine being. I mean, there were people at the time who didn't believe that Christ was divine, that he was the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were Christians, but they were of a more Jewish thinking, and they just didn't know. For them, there would be no Son of God. There's one God. They just didn't like the idea of the Trinity and all those sort of things. And so that's part of our tradition, is wrestling with those ideas,
mm-hmm.
right? Was there resurrection? Was he the Son of God? All those sort of things are part of Christianity.
And there's no wrestling when you have taken all the IKEA parts you want and made your own stool.
And you are the one person who believes it.
That's right.
There's no one else who's coming along and saying, well, wait a second. Paul said, or this happened. What did Christ mean when he said this? And da 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 da. I mean, if it's all explicable, or you just toss something out and you just say, well, according to the Gospel of John, blah, blah, blah. Oh, the Gospel of John was written by the trickster spirit, it's not inspired by God himself.
And that's sort of what it felt like to me when it was going through the feminist arguments, this is something you feel. Mm-hmm. And now you're trying to establish the logical argument to justify what your emotions feel. And then you're labeling it something which isn't emotions, because you're going emotions or weakness. I'm going to argue this as fact and science.
Okay.
And I'm going to make up my own science to justify this. And I think that's where you get into danger, because that's a snake eating its own ass.
Mm-hmm.
There's no outside voice that can get in, because you've completed the circle.
Sure.
So I think that in that way, it's troublesome. And then when
it's troublesome. It's not troublesome.
Okay.
It's readable, and it's discussable, and it's debatable.
But it can't grow.
But for him, I think for him, it's troublesome if he doesn't want to debate it, if he doesn't want to grow, if he doesn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, if he's just stuck in that same position that he's held for whatever, 26 years now or 28 mm-hmm. years, well, if he's still there, then that's not so great. But for you to read it and to think about it, that's life-changing. It's maybe life-altering, mm-hmm. you know, to deal with those kind of discussions. I mean, it's not unthinkable or terrible to write those things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's terrible if you just write them and that's the end of it. You've stated your thesis and now you're just going to leave.
Right.
You're going to take your ball and go home. Well, that's not a debate, you know?
It's something like I hear a lot in political debates now. Here's how you know someone's lying. Whenever they say the fact of the matter is.
Is that right?
Yeah. Whenever someone says, well, the fact of the matter is, they're not going to say anything that's a fact at all. And because
it's going to state an opinion.
Right. Because if you actually had a fact, yeah. I could just say, David, yeah. You know, this and this and this. I could mm-hmm. just say that. But if I say the fact of the matter is, I am now having to sell you on this and I'm yeah. taking you on a journey and we're going down this road. And what it sort of feels like with Dave Sim is he has written the fact of the matter is on all these things and he's starting with that.
Yeah.
And if you don't agree that the fact of the matter is, you cannot have a discussion with him any further. And so there's no discussion to be had. In fact, if you believe that his arguments are sexist, he's done a thing recently where you had to sign a petition. Mm-hmm. It's weird, a petition, because like how many names do you need before you get that motion passed?
I think his number is 2,000.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. So you got to sign a petition saying that you don't believe he's a misogynist.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he thinks a misogynist is. I think his definition of misogyny is probably different than the dictionary's definition of misogyny. But regardless.
It depends. It's not different than a dictionary. I would say it's different than our cultural understanding of misogyny.
Very good. So cultural, okay. Yeah. Possibly there's many different mm-hmm. definitions in the old Webster's, but there you go. But what we all sort of think of is that. What he's saying is like before the discussion can even take place,
yeah.
we must establish what reality is. Mm-hmm. And reality is the person wearing the hat, you must sign a thing saying you do not see the hat. And I am not a hat wearer. And before we can talk, you must – but I'm seeing the fucking hat. And I was like, okay, if you could just sign this. Yeah, but if I sign this, then I'm a liar and that goes against my ethics. So where do we go from here? Where you go is I'm going to take a step back, wish you the best of luck and hope everything works out for you.
Yeah.
You know, but of course, recently, you know, there's been a lot of stuff that he's been writing going, well, I guess I'm done and things didn't work out. And
yeah, it's interesting.
But that's the next stage of it because you can't, you know, again, this is me making assumptions and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's what a podcast is for. I think when you wrap into that little world of yourself mm-hmm. and you are your own, you're creating your own reality and making your own religion and making your own logical loops. I think there's no way anyone can come in. And so that's going, the snake, once again, that's eating its own tail, Abraxas, is that what it's called? It's going to get smaller and smaller, and there's nowhere you can grow from there. You can't get bigger. You can't do anything larger. So you're only going to get smaller and smaller, and I think that's what's happening. It's getting just too internalized, and it's turned on himself, and it's ugh. And I wish there was some way of getting in there and going, hey, I wish he had like just some regular friends that weren't comics yeah. folks, just regular dudes that would go, let's go to the bar and gives him a shake and go, let's go camping. You know,
well, I think he does have some.
But
regular,
I don't know the guy's
I think
life.
He does have some regular friends, but
and
I mean,
that's and I'm getting at that point into stuff that I'm fictionalizing stuff. But yeah. I'm only going from what he has read and made public. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm speaking on.
He lives in a hermetic world. I mean, he lives in his world of fasting, of prayer, of charity. Mm-hmm. You know, he gives away most of his money. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he's created this world for himself. And I think it's hard to get into that world. He's obviously also a workaholic.
Right. Well, when you live, you know, when like, I mean, I've got someone who I care about very much who, you know, has done a lot of like art, like the idea of like more than a page a day. And mm-hmm. I've seen how much time that sucks up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get someone like him who's done this for so many years, like yeah. decades,
yeah.
and then you stop. What do you do? Do mm-hmm. you go, now I'm going to be social? Fuck no.
Yeah.
Your comfort level is that kind of internal you know, hermetic lifestyle that mm-hmm. you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about giving away money, what are you going to spend money on?
Yeah.
You stay home. There's nothing you can bring money. There's nothing you can spend money on at home. Mm-hmm. Your comfort zone is not that. So yeah, money has to go away.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, I mean, he slowly, yes, removed himself from life. I think he stopped going to bars in 2004 or to mm-hmm. nightclubs or something in 2004. And he slowly removed himself from society.
Right. If he wasn't an artist whose work you admired, and he was, say, someone, let's just go like he was a brother, or something, and your brother started exhibiting these same things, what advice would you give your brother? Just like, good on you, there you go? Or?
Well, let's not say brother, because I think that's a bit different relationship than you have with a friend. Yeah,
a chum. Like a,
okay, well, I have had friends who are eccentric.
Yes, me too. Very much so.
I am a person who attracts eccentric people because I don't judge them mm-hmm. in the way other people might judge them. So I've had friends. I had a friend who, like this, when I was on the bus with him, would rail against homosexuals, which made me very uncomfortable because obviously I disagreed with him. Mm-hmm. But it's not something you can
get. And you were trying to pick up guys.
But, well, yeah. I was looking to hook up. And here's this guy. Sneaky dragon after dark, everybody. Sneaky dragon after dark. But yeah. And so it made, because you don't want to start arguing about it because it only will get worse and louder, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to say then? Oh, no, I think it's perfectly fine. Like, what's the problem with men meeting men? Like, so?
Mm-hmm. So but what do you do? Just, do you just sit there and just like go, meh?
I would, yeah. You just kind of, you change the topic is what you do, right? You just get them off that particular.
You don't throw a log on the fire.
Because we shared a lot of interests. We both like silent film comedies, and he had a lot of them that, you know, I could watch.
Right.
We liked, you know, cartoons, stuff like that. He was a cartoonist as well. And so we had interests, and he was a kind of an interesting person, and it was fun to talk to him every once in a while.
Okay.
And like I say, I don't judge. You know, he didn't like homosexuals. I don't know now, why. He maybe had a bad experience.
Now, if he was saying racist stuff on the bus, so again, same old, same old?
Yeah.
Okay.
If that's how I met him, it would be different, right? Mm-hmm. But once you start to know someone and then that element comes out of them.
And then the anti-Semitism or whatever comes out.
What are you going to do?
You weigh it on the scale.
Yeah.
You go like, okay.
Let's not say anti-Semitism. That seems a bit... Well, I guess it's anti-homosexuality is about the same, isn't it, really? I mean, any kind of anti is bad, mm-hmm. right? I mean, whether he was anti-Christian or anti-atheist or anti-whatever, I mean, mm-hmm. but lots of people have a blind spot or, you know, I have a friend who's not just an atheist, but is a rabid God hater.
Right.
You know, and can fulminate for several minutes on it. Mm-hmm. And if I was on the bus with him and he was doing it, it would also make me feel the same way as my friend fulminating against homosexuals. Mm-hmm. And it would also be offensive to some people on the bus. Mm-hmm. Some people on the bus probably agreed with my friend, mm-hmm. right? So would you, if you're at a friend who is a rabid anti-religious person and was carrying on about it on the bus, would you feel like that was a reason to break
a
friendship?
That's a tough one. Is a tough one.
But it can also be equally...
I think there's sometimes that your silence can be taken as, you know, consent. And
well, no, like, I would never agree with him. And
no,
I always say, you know, I don't agree with you on this. So let's talk about something else.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I'm trying to think of a situation where that has happened, where someone has like, mm-hmm. you know, come out. I mean, it's when your friend like says the racist thing or says the joke or whatever. And it's a tough one when it's in public. Like when it's in private, you can sometimes go, oh Jesus. And and once again, you bring out the scale in your head and go, like, you weigh it all out.
You weigh it. Yeah.
But if it's on, it's weird. Like if it's at a party or a public thing or a bus, that's the tricky thing, because there could be someone, it doesn't even matter if there could be someone on the bus with that, who is that person, but you're the two guys who are now this.
Yeah.
So maybe the person won't say anything. Maybe if there was one guy, he might go, hey, shut up.
Yeah.
But if it's like the two guys, well, I don't want these two guys kicking my ass. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're now part of the situation. It is a real tricky one.
It is tricky. And it was just, you know, if he started going off that way, I would just kind of change. You know, he wasn't like my best friend or anything. It was just an acquaintance that, you know, I knew. And I think, you know, obviously what made him not a super close friend or anything was some of his opinions, right? I just didn't agree, and I'm not going to
There's a certain
go along.
There's only so far you can go with a friendship with someone who is like that. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I mean part of, you know, my criteria or whatever for being a friend with someone, you know, part of my, well, I have what I like to call nerddar, which is I can see someone right away that they're a nerd.
Right.
You know, I can just look at them and go, oh, that person likes whatever, comics, books, movies, da da da. But part of that obviously is a kind of a liberal outlook. You know, those are things that I look for in people to be like a real friend.
Right.
You know, I couldn't be a friend with someone who is like, although I'm kind of conservative, but a super conservative, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, right winger or racist. You know, that's just not, I'm not going to be friends with them. You know, Yeah, you do make me feel kind of bad for even.
You know what? I'm gonna cut you this much slack and go like, it was a little bit of a different era. That doesn't necessarily make it right. Well, but yeah, in retrospect, our views towards homosexuality back then were a little bit different. It was treated different than racism. It was treated different than that kind of situation.
No, it was totally unfair. And I mean, I never agreed with him, and I would always argue against him in private.
Mm-hmm.
I would never argue on the bus, though, because on the bus,
he would just get louder. It would just get louder and set him off.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, a lot of times what happens when you've got an extreme nerd is that there was some sort of, I mean, the thing is, most times the things that they're nerdy about, there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. There's some damage. Something went wrong. This is taking the place of something.
Yeah.
Something's gone wrong. If you're that kind of withdrawn person that then obsesses over, you know, Daffy Duck cartoons or whatever the hell it is, or Japanese love pillows or whatever the hell it is, you know, there's something wrong, and that might cause you to lash out in that way. I mean, if someone lashes out that strongly against, you know, homosexuality, my immediate thing that you think is, okay, well, there's something you're holding back. I mean, it's always the people that you see that are just like, you know who I hate? I hate fags and da 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 da. And then, like, you know,
is that why when
cut to 2 years later and he's getting married?
Well, I forgot to mention that he was, you know, being very loud against homosexuals and holding my penis.
Okay.
So I forgot to mention that part of the story.
But that's just because you're scared on the bus.
Yes, that's right. It made me calmer.
Yeah. And I'm using words like fag and whatever, and I apologize for that if that's offensive, whatever, but I'm just using the words that's using the words.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just sad. I've had friends like that too, and it's just a shame when that comes out and you're like, oh. But then for the most part, when you're saying about the lack of judgment, I think where it comes from for me, because I got that kind of thing too with certain friends that I'm like, they will say stuff like that, but I know how fucked up they are.
Okay.
And I know they're lashing out, and it doesn't mean that I believe what they're saying is right. I don't think, because I think racism comes from a position of power. It's power over a certain group. You know, that's one of the, you know, criteria for, you know, for that kind of thing. And I think a lot of times these people feel they have no power, and that's why it's lashing out at that kind of thing.
So that's probably the case with this person as
so
well.
So I don't see them as a bully. I see them as the guy just throwing out stuff, and it's just like more that's sad than that's a threat.
I can see, when you say that, I mean, that was part of that. This too is, in a way, I was friends with him because I felt kind of sorry for him.
Right.
You know, like, this is a person, he seemed kind of lonely, and he introduced himself to me by coming up to me because I was reading a book about Buster Keaton in the library, in the public library. He just walked up to me and started talking to me. I didn't know him at all, and he just came up and started talking about Buster Keaton, and then, you know, we became, and I'll say friends, you know, that we knew each other, that, you know,
You know what it is? It's friends with limits.
Yeah, I guess.
And
that's
you know the zone that you can stay in, and you're safe, but you're not going to take him to the fair.
Yeah.
You're not going to go on a Ferris wheel with him because you know things are going to be said, or you're not going to go to a certain party because things are going to happen, and you're like, yeah, go and watch some cartoons.
Yeah, and I mean, and I like to debate people, and so it was.
There's an excitement to that.
Excitement to that. Yeah, the same way I'm still my friend who's, you know, very anti-religious. I love to debate him about religion, and
there's probably a reason that they're like that as well.
Yeah,
you know, there's always a
well. It's, I mean, it's part of the culture he came out of. You know, so
yeah,
you know, the '60s and the kind of anti-establishment. I mean, that's all kind of fed into that kind of general. I mean, I understand why people think that way about it. I don't.
And you don't have to.
That's
you
right.
You do not have to,
I don't
sir.
Have to. Oh, I was going to pound the desk, but I better not do that.
No, that's not what
last
you do.
Last time we turned off the machine.
Yeah, we did. We're running a little bit out of time. It's too bad.
Oh, my goodness. We are really late.
But you know what? This is Sneaky Dragon After Dark. We got into some controversial subjects. But you know what? That's okay. That's all right.
Are you saying that we've lost our listener?
No, we've gained.
Oh, okay.
We have gained our listener. I have no idea what we're doing. But it, again, folks, it is quite late right now. Very, very late.
It is.
And once again,
cow.
Dave and I are drunk.
I have to get up really early in the morning, too.
So do you?
I have to drive my wife to the hospital tomorrow or this morning.
Okay. Well, everything, all good thoughts and all
Thank
good
you.
Health and all
Thank
good
you.
Everything.
Thank you.
All right. I noticed that even though you need to sleep, you're drinking a Coke.
Well, I'm really thirsty as well.
Okay.
I have been working so hard. We're moving at work. So we've been moving 4 warehouses to a new location.
Ugh.
So it's been a lot of logistical fun.
Well, you know what? When you feel tired, just look at those pictures of yourself as a young man and just suck the energy right out of it. Yeah.
I'm so dehydrated. Even this Coke is replenishing it.
We'll put some of those youthful Dorian Gray pictures up that have sucked the life out of us in the modern day right now. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. If you are in the Vancouver area, I am doing a show on October 8th. An improv show called Sideswipe. It's a new improv format, competitive improv format that I'm going to be doing with my friends Taz Van Rassel, Nicole Passmore.
Can we go into it a little bit?
Oh, sure, if you want, real fast.
Sure.
I do some stuff called No And. I do some posting under the heading No And on Facebook. And I've been talking about things I like and dislike about competitive improv formats like theater sports. And so I tried designing one that would have stakes, but would not have that weird, oh, we've got to win against the other side. So what happens in this format is two teams of three, and they compete against each other. And at the end of it, whoever wins gets to pick a player from the other team. So throughout the night, the teams mix up, and it's like, you know, grabbing players from the other side.
Oh, fun.
So people that normally don't play with each other will be forced to play with each other. And to see who goes first each time, there'll be a series of challenges based on board games, video games, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, and the other challenge I've given myself, I'm hosting the show, is all new handles for improv scenes. So hopefully all new things that you have not seen before. If you've gone to see a theater sports or a Whose Line Is It Anyway, watch that kind of stuff. Those are not the games you're going to be seeing. You will be seeing new ones that hopefully will be equally as entertaining.
Oh, sounds fun.
Yeah. And it's called Sideswipe, and it's at Havana. Okay. A restaurant at 9 o'clock, October 8th, Monday, here in Vancouver.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
It does sound exciting.
All right.
And we got a nice poster for it that we'll put up on our page as well that was done by my sister-in-law, Vicky Van.
Okay, we'll put that up.
Yeah, she'll be working the door as well. If you want to come and say, hey, nice poster, she'll be there at the door.
Very nice.
Yes. So, yeah, please come and say hi. And good luck with everything that's going on with you in your life. And
thank you.
Again, good thoughts, good stuff. Go home, get some sleep.
I will.
All right. This has been Sneaky Dragon After Dark. And everyone, why don't you all get some sleep? If you can't sleep, here's a nice thing. Just imagine a penguin ice skating on a large rink. Just imagine that penguin. He's got little skates on. He's got a little scarf, a little red scarf, a little hat. And he's skating around the rink. Just keep thinking of him doing figure eights. You'll fall asleep.
Sounds nice.
Sneaky Dragon After Dark.
I'll say one last thing.
Okay.
Those old pictures of me?
Yeah.
I look exactly the same. Good night, everyone.
I'm sorry your vision's going.